Begin the lesson this morning by asking you a question, and the question is, what is the greatest threat that you currently have in your life? What is the greatest threat that you currently have in your life? Is your greatest threat foreign terrorism? Is it terrorist groups like ISIS or ISIL or Al-Qaeda? Is your greatest threat the decline of morals and values in our society? Is your greatest threat things like the continual spread of things like gay marriage and abortion and atheism and transgenderism? Is your greatest threat a collapsing U.S. economy? Is it a collapsing housing market or stock market? Or maybe it's a national debt that continues to grow into the trillions each and every year. Brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that there is no doubt that all of those things I just mentioned are huge threats that we all face in our lives, but none of those things are our greatest threat. You see, our greatest threat is not foreign terrorism. It has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with the spread of all these moral and immoral social issues in our society. No, according to the Bible, the greatest threat we have in our lives right now is actually the devil. It is actually Satan. It is actually the father of lies. The devil is the greatest threat we have in our lives. And so let me just ask you this morning, how much do you know about your greatest threat? How much do you know about the devil? How much do you know about Satan? I ask you that question because unfortunately, we're currently living in a society where fewer and fewer people know the truth about the devil. Fewer and fewer people know the truth about the one who is the greatest threat they have in their lives. In fact, the truth is, brothers and sisters, the majority of folks in our society don't even believe in the devil. I'm reminded of a recent poll that was taken a few years ago by the Barna Group. A few years ago, the Barna Group reported that more than half of adults, that is about 55%, say that the devil is not a living being. They say the devil is not a real person, but instead he is a symbol of evil. And as part of that same group, Barna also reported that two out of every five adults, that is about 40% of adults, say that while Jesus was on this earth, he committed sin. Now, just stop and think about that for a second. Think about how for about half of adults in our society, they believe that Jesus was a sinner while he was on the earth and that the devil is not real. What a biblically illiterate society we live in today. I mean, unfortunately, the vast majority of people living in our country and in our culture and our society, they do not believe in the devil. And for those who do believe in the devil, unfortunately, for a lot of those folks, they believe a lot of things that are just wrong about him. They believe that a lot of things that are just not true. For example, for a lot of people, when they think about the devil, they view him as this red man who has horns coming out of his head and a pitchfork and a long tail. Other people, when they think about the devil, they view him as equal with God. They view him as having the same attributes of deity. And so other people, when they think about the devil, they view him as some kind of a fallen angel, as though the Bible really says that. Or they also view him as the one who's going to be in charge or the supervisor of hell. Unfortunately, these are the kinds of things that so many people in our society believe about the devil. And my question is this, why is that? Why is it that so many people have these false notions about Satan? Why is it that for so many people, they're completely oblivious to the facts concerning their greatest enemy? Well, I want to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that the reason why so many people in our society may know little or nothing about the devil is because, unfortunately, maybe we as the people of God are not talking about him enough. Maybe we're not saying his name enough. Maybe we're not teaching about him enough. Maybe we're not having the kind of courage we need today to point out his character and all the different avenues that he's using to cause people to lose their souls. You see, unfortunately, maybe the reason why so many people know little or nothing about the devil is because we as the people of God, we as Christians, we as disciples, we're not doing our job. We're not talking about him enough. We're not saying his name enough. We're not giving him the credit for all this evil that is going on in our society. Maybe that's the problem. And let me tell you, that is the problem. If we're failing to talk about him as much as we should, the devil loves that. The devil loves it when we don't say his name and teach on him and call out his work for the evil that it is. And so how about this morning in our study, how about we make the devil mad a little bit? How about we spend just a few moments opening up our Bibles and revisiting some important things that the Bible tells us about our greatest threat, who is the devil? And let's just start with this, brothers and sisters. Let's start by first understanding and pointing out how, according to the sacred text, according to the scriptures, we need to understand that the devil is real. The devil is real. He is an actual spiritual being. And I know that that is an obvious point to an audience like this morning. I understand that. I know that I'm speaking to the choir when I make this point. I know that probably everybody in this room believes in the devil, but remember what I said earlier in the lesson. Remember how I said earlier in the lesson that even though we may believe in the devil, the vast majority of folks in our society do not believe in the devil. And so in order that we may avoid going down that same destructive path, I think it's important that we talk about this a little bit. I think it's important that we emphasize this. I think it's important that we emphasize how, according to the Bible, the devil is not some mythical or imaginary person. He's not like some creature from Star Wars or Lord of the Rings. He's not like the Tooth Fairy or Peter Pan. He's not some imaginary or figment of man's imagination. No, according to the Bible, the devil is real. The devil actually exists. This is something that we learn almost as soon as the Bible opens up in Genesis 3, right? I mean, don't we learn this as early as what happened in the case of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Remember, after God made the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, he then put them in a paradise on earth. He put them in the Garden of Eden, right? He put them in the Garden of Eden. And he told them that they could eat from any tree in the garden freely except one. He says, the only tree you can't eat from is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, the day you eat from that tree, you will die. In fact, he said, you will surely die. You will surely suffer consequences for violating my word. Those were the clear instructions of God. But unfortunately, the serpent came onto the scene, right? The serpent came onto the scene and he told Eve the exact opposite of what God said. Brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you that that serpent there, that's the devil. That is the evil one. That is the one that we're talking about this morning. And someone says, well, Sean, how can we be sure that? How can we be sure that that serpent is the devil? The Bible never says that. Are you sure about that? Are you sure the Bible never says that? Because when I go to Revelation chapter 12, I see that the Bible does say that. Look in your Bibles at Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. And Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9 is interesting how this serpent is mentioned in the first book of the Bible. But not only is he mentioned in the first book of the Bible, he's also mentioned in the last book of the Bible. The Bible opens by talking about the serpent, and the Bible almost closes by talking about the serpent. And in Revelation 12 and verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old," who is called what? Who's called the devil. The devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This is the only verse in the Bible that clearly tells us that that serpent in the garden was Satan. The Bible here is very clear to that serpent that we're introduced to almost as soon as the Bible story opens up. That is the devil. That is Satan. Satan is portrayed as someone who is an actual spiritual being almost as soon as the Bible opens up. He's mentioned right away in the Old Testament, but not only is he mentioned in the Old Testament, brothers and sisters, he's also mentioned in the New Testament. In fact, he's actually mentioned in the four Gospels quite a bit. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, there we can read about a time when the devil had the boldness or even the audacity to test the Lord Jesus while he was in the wilderness. Remember that? Remember how in Matthew chapter 4, we can read about the devil coming to Jesus, the Son of God, and tempting him with three very specific temptations. Now, let me ask you something. If the devil is not real, like so many people say, what in the world are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with what we find in Matthew chapter 4? I mean, clearly there we have the devil engaging in a personal conversation with the Son of God. But not only is he mentioned there in the New Testament, when Jesus started preaching, guess what? He had a lot to say about the devil. For example, in John 8 and verse 44, Jesus told those Jews who rejected him, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." And in Matthew 16 and verse 23, when Peter was trying to prevent him from dying on the cross for our sins, Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Imagine how it must have felt for Peter to be called the devil. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then you go to Matthew 25 and verse 41, and there Jesus says that hell was originally prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Jesus had a lot to say about the devil. And so did the rest of the New Testament writers, men like Paul and Jude and Peter. For example, in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, Paul says that when it comes to us as Christians, when it comes to us as disciples, we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes, or we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Jude says in Jude 9, there was a time when the devil argued for the body of Moses. And then in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter describes the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many other examples I could give you this morning. But I think you get the point. I think you can see that the point I'm making is this. Contrary to what the majority of people in our society believe today, the devil is real. The devil really exists. He is an actual spiritual being. The question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that the devil is real? I want you to understand something. Unlike God the Father and unlike Jesus Christ, the devil could care less if you believe in him. In fact, the truth is the devil doesn't want you to believe in him. You see, the devil would rather be like that burglar that comes into your house. Many of you know that when it comes to a burglar who comes into your house, he knows he can do a whole lot more damage if you don't know that he's not there, right? That's how the devil wants to be. The devil wants to be like that burglar that comes into your house. He doesn't want you to know that he's there. He doesn't want you to know that he exists. He's perfectly fine with you not acknowledging him and thinking about him and saying and believing that he really exists. The devil does not want you to believe in him. But the Bible tells us the truth, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that the devil is real. But not only is the devil real, a second thing we need to understand about the devil is, secondly, we need to know that the devil is your enemy. He is your enemy. In fact, the truth is, he is your greatest enemy. Peter actually calls him your adversary. I'm going now to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. As Peter speaks to Christians, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Notice how here Peter says that the devil is not only real, but he is our enemy. He is our adversary. What does that mean practically speaking? Well, practically speaking, that means that the devil hates us on a personal level. He hates you and he hates me. In fact, not only does he hate us on a personal level, but he's also constantly attacking us. He's also constantly thinking about us and watching us and seeking to destroy us and devour us spiritually. I mean, this is something else that we see all the way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, right? I mean, going back to that conversation that Eve had with the devil, remember, contrary to what she initially thought, the devil was out to get her from the start, wasn't he? I mean, from the very beginning of their conversation about God and that forbidden fruit, the devil was trying to destroy her. The devil was trying to deceive her. The devil was trying to murder her spiritually. Jesus actually talks about that in John 8 and verse 44. Look in your Bibles at John 8 and verse 44, and you may want to put a Bible marker there because we're going to come back to this verse a couple of more times this morning. But in John 8 and verse 44, notice what Jesus said to those Jews who rejected him. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the what? From the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Because there's no truth in him, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Notice how here in the verse, Jesus doesn't just call the devil a murderer. He says he's a murderer from the beginning. What is that talking about? Well, when Jesus talks about the beginning here, he's making a reference to what we read in Genesis chapter 3. He's talking about how all the way back in the beginning, the devil was there contributing not just to the physical death of man, but more importantly, the spiritual death of man. The devil was responsible for the spiritual death of Adam and Eve. And nothing has changed. You see, just like in the case of Adam and Eve, the devil's still busy. The devil is still a spiritual murderer. The devil continues to hate us as God's greatest creation at the highest possible level. He continues to plot against us. He continues to think about us. He continues to study us and constantly try to find ways to deceive us and cause us to lose our souls. The devil, he's our enemy. In fact, he's our greatest enemy. But not only is he our enemy, a second thing we need to understand is this. Secondly, we need to know that the devil is a liar, isn't he? I mean, isn't that what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 44? Jesus said the devil is a liar. In fact, not only does he say he's a liar, but he says he's the father of lies. What does that mean? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that means that the devil is a liar to the highest degree. That means that there's nobody on this earth or nobody in the spiritual dimension who knows how to lie like the devil. That means that he is someone who does not reside in the truth in any way, shape, or form. According to Jesus, since the very beginning, the devil has been lying to mankind. And you would think that by now we would have picked up on that, right? You would think that by now we'll be able to easily recognize the lies that the devil promotes, but unfortunately, see, so often we don't recognize those lies. So often we're no different than Eve was all the way back in the beginning. You remember going back to Genesis chapter 3? I'm going back to Genesis 3. And notice what happens here. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Genesis 3 and verse 2. Once Eve starts talking to the devil, the serpent, the woman said to the serpent, Genesis 3:2, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, But from the fruit of the tree, which in the middle of the garden, God has said, you should not eat from it or touch it or you will die. So Eve clearly knows the will of God. She clearly knows God's standard when it comes to this tree. But in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will, N-O-T, not die. For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Notice how the devil caused Eve to stumble. He contributed to that by telling her a straight up lie. He lied to her. He completely changed what God said. God says you will surely die if you do this. The devil says you won't. She had to make a choice. She had to make a choice as to who she was going to believe. Either she was going to believe the God who loved her and cared for her and created her, or she was going to believe the deceiver, the serpent, the devil. She had to make a choice. And unfortunately, she made the wrong choice, didn't she? Unfortunately, she believed the devil's lie. And let me just ask you something. Are people still guilty of that today? What do you think? Are people, even in 2019, still guilty of believing the lies of Satan? You know they are. For example, when people believe the popular notion that it really doesn't matter what we do in religion, that one church is just as good as another church, that it really doesn't matter if we do things according to the authority of God. When people say those kinds of things, when people believe those kinds of things, you know what they're really believing? They really believe in the lies of Satan. That they're believing something that is clearly contrary to what God actually says in his word. And the same can also be said when people say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter why I get a divorce. Or it really doesn't matter if people look at pornography or practice homosexuality. Or, you know, you can be saved by just believing in God and saying a prayer. Brothers and sisters, when people say those kinds of things, when people believe those kinds of things, do you know what they're really doing? They're really believing something that comes from Satan. They're believing something that comes from the evil one because it stands in direct contradiction to what the Bible actually says. The devil is a liar. And every single day of our lives, my friends, we got to make a choice. We got to make a choice as to whether or not we're going to listen to him. As our culture gets further and further away from the will of God, it is going to be so even more important for us to recognize his lies, to call out his lies, and refuse to buy into them. The devil is a liar. But not only is he a liar, I want to also point out that the devil is also a father. Did you know that? In fact, did you know that the devil could be your father? The devil could be my father. Jesus makes that point in John 8 and verse 44. Go back to the verse again. I mean, there's so much to learn about the devil just based on what Jesus says in this one verse. Jesus said in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Let's just stop right there. I want you to notice how according to Jesus, when it came to these Jews of his day, their spiritual father was not God like they thought, like they initially thought, right? Their spiritual father wasn't God. Instead, their spiritual father was the devil. The devil was their real spiritual father, and the reason for that is because they were doing his deeds. Another way we could say that is they were under his influence. They were following his desires. They were rejecting the will of Jesus, just like he does. You see, from this, brothers and sisters, we learn that when it comes to every single one of us in this room this morning, we all have a spiritual father. We all have a spiritual parent. Either our spiritual parent is God the Father, or our spiritual parent is the father of lies, Satan. We all have one of those two as our spiritual father. And someone says, well, wait a minute, Sean. Neither one of them are my spiritual father because I don't even believe in them. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil. Well, my friend, you may not believe in God and you may not believe in the devil, but you're still the child of one of them. In fact, the fact that you deny the existence of God, that clearly shows who your father really is. You see, in life, we got to make a choice. Who's your father? Is your father God? Or is your father the devil? I want to suggest that the answer to this question is not so much found in what we say this morning. Instead, it's found in what we're doing. You see, if God is really our father, then that means we're going to obey God. We're going to love God. We're going to serve God. We're not going to quibble over the instructions he gives us in his word. Who do we serve? Who do we obey? That really determines who our father is right now in life. The devil is a liar. And he's also a spiritual father. But I want to close by saying this. I want to close by giving you some good news about the devil. And that's this. You need to know that the devil's going to lose. He's going to lose this spiritual battle that's taking place behind the scenes. And in fact, the truth is there's a huge sense in which he's already lost. And I want to show you that from the Bible. Go back to Genesis one more time. And we actually made a reference to this verse last Sunday in our lesson. Genesis 3 verse 15. Genesis 3 verse 15. After Adam and Eve has sinned against God. Remember, God announced punishments on both of them. On Adam and on Eve. But not only did he announce punishments on them. He also announced judgment or punishment on the serpent or the devil. And in Genesis 3 verse 15, he says, and I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now, if you remember last Sunday, we made the point that this is actually the very first prophecy in scripture that makes a reference to Jesus. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Specifically, this is a prophecy about the spiritual battle that will take place between the Son of God and the Father of lies. Jesus is the one who would come through the seed of the woman. He would come through the seed of Eve. And once he came into this world, the evil one, the serpent, the devil, he would bruise him on the heel. That is, he would put upon him some kind of a minor blow by persuading evil men to put him on the cross. But ultimately, Jesus, the Son of God, he will deliver a head blow, a death blow, if you will, crushing the devil when he was raised from the dead in glory. You see, this verse right here is telling you and telling me the outcome of this spiritual battle. It's telling us that while the devil may experience some minor victories, ultimately he's going to lose. He's going to lose this battle against the Son of God. In fact, he ultimately lost this battle when Jesus did his redemptive work at Calvary. And someone says, well, the devil's still busy. Oh, yeah, he's still busy. He does still prowl around like a roaring lion today. But I want you to know that when we get to the last book of the Bible, particularly Revelation 20 and verse 10, we see that ultimately when it's all said and done, God's going to get rid of the devil for good. Yeah, he does prowl around today seeking to destroy us, but there's going to come a time when the Lord comes again and the world is destroyed and the judgment day takes place. And on that day, the devil is going to be taken by God and thrown into the lake of fire where he's going to suffer forever. The devil's going to lose, brothers and sisters. In fact, he's already lost. The Bible's already told us how this movie's going to end. We already know how this battle's going to end. The question is, which side of the battle are you on right now? Are you on the winning side? Or are you on the losing side? God has already told you how the thing's going to end. If you're on the side of Satan, you're on the losing side. You're going to lose. So the wise thing is to get on God's side. And so maybe there's somebody here this morning and you say, well, you know, I'm on the wrong side of the battle right now. You say, I'm on the losing side. I'm with the devil. I know it. I'm doing his will. I'm ready to stop that. Maybe there's somebody here like that. If there is, and I want you to know this, okay? And I'm saying this with as much love as I know how. If you don't take anything else away from this sermon, take this away. There is nothing in this world, and there's nothing that the devil can offer you in your life that is worth you losing your eternal soul. And so if you understand that you're not serving God and pleasing God, if you know that God is not really your Father right now, it's time to stop playing games and come to the Father. Believe that the Father loves you, that he sent his Son to die for you. He wants you to repent of your sins and obey his commandment to get immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and be raised to walk in the newness of life. God wants to be all of our Father. But ultimately, what will determine that is whether or not we serve him. If you're here this morning, you know you're not serving the Father and you're ready to start that journey. We would love to help you with that right here and right now. And if we can, come to the front. Let's stand. Let's sing.